got to learn how to use the clicker, about what Peter and I are up to. We now attend City on a Hill Church, and Peter runs the Many Rooms program there, which is a program that feeds the disadvantaged and homeless in the city. And I've gone forward too quick. Okay, there's a delay. That's what's going on here. All right. Yeah, so Pete's going really well. He was actually involved in feeding the 300 people who were put into hotels by the government, the homeless people, over COVID. So that gave him something big to do and to concentrate on and to keep him occupied. I started up my private practice during COVID as well, and so that's going well. I'm now doing that exclusively and just working 3 days a week. We had a really big week over Christmas and New Year because we had our little baby grandson born, Micah, and also our son got married in the US. So that was a very, very big week. But anyway, we're not here to talk about me. We're here to talk about mental health. Do Christians get mental health issues and why? And as Liz said, look, we know we do, don't we? Right. Let's have a little look. And following the presentation, as Ian said, we will have a half-hour Q&A with a bit of morning tea beforehand, I think, and that'll be about mental health, and you can ask any questions you like about anything, mental health, addiction, anything like that, you know, whatever you'd like to, either stuff that comes up in the presentation or things from, your own life, people you know, whatever. Okay, so of course the short answer to that question of do Christians get mental health issues is yes, right? And we need to be really careful not to to judge ourselves or other people with anxiety or depression as being lesser Christians or, you know, less Christian than us. Because, you know, the causes of mental illness are many and varied. You know, they're biological, they're genetic sometimes, they're situational, they're all sorts of things. So there's not one particular reason for mental health issues. And, you know, having a mental illness is not a sin. It's kind of just a result of life, isn't it? Life happens and we have a response to it. But, you know, God loves us and cares about our mental health wants us to have good mental health and, you know, wants to help us to have good mental health as well. Sorry, I keep banging that. Just to explain about mood disorders. Mood disorders cover a whole range of feelings that are not particularly pleasant a lot of the time, especially the sad feelings. And of course, there we're talking about depression, but they're feelings that just won't go away, you know. They're very sort of chronic feelings. And it goes beyond just having a bad day. And if they're high feelings or manic feelings, that's also a mood disorder, you know, where people get sort of unrealistically optimistic and positive and grandiose about things, and that results in a lot of bad behaviours that are quite, detrimental to life. But all mental health issues, whatever they are, whether it's depression, whether it's anxiety, whether it's OCD, whether it's manic depression or psychosis, all of those mental health issues and all the rest of them as well are all on a continuum, okay? So right down, I don't know if I've got a laser pointer, do I? Oh, I do, okay. Right down there at the extreme left end is positive mental health. You probably can't see that on the screen, sorry, on the online. But and on the right-hand side is under illness over there is the more extreme sort of end of illness. And you know, we're all on that continuum somewhere, all of us. especially during COVID, right? We all had some level of, you know, disappointment, depression, you know, things that we were missing out on, things that we were sad about. True? Yep. Yeah. Where are we? Oh, this is not lining up. Sorry. Okay, so research has been done into depression and as to what causes it and what contributes to it. And things like long-term employment, unemployment, I should say, and, you know, living in a poor relationship, you know, an uncaring or abusive relationship, long-term isolation or loneliness, prolonged work stress, prolonged stress of any kind, actually, can really contribute to depression, even more than like a recent life stressor such as losing your job or, you know, something like that. But also other things that contribute to mental health and to depression are if you're already at risk because of, you know, previous traumas or, you know, bad experiences in life, or, you know, you have a predisposition to it genetically, or if you have a predisposition to it because of your upbringing, you've had, you know, perhaps a difficult upbringing. But, you know, it doesn't matter how many of those reasons you have for experiencing mental health issues, it's not a sentence. It's not something that you're stuck with, right? You can recover. So that's the main message, I guess, of today. So you can go home. No, don't go home yet. Okay, so some of the symptoms of depression. So this is from the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for mental health. And generally, people need to have 5 of these symptoms for at least 2 weeks to receive a diagnosis of depression. So depressed mood most of the day, nearly every day. Markedly diminished interest or pleasure in activities, nearly every day. Significant weight loss when not dieting, or weight gain. Insomnia or hypersomnia, so too much or too little sleep. Fatigue or loss of energy nearly every day. Feelings of worthlessness or excessive or inappropriate guilt. Diminished ability to think or concentrate. Or indecisiveness nearly every day. And recurrent thoughts of death. So why do Christians get depression and anxiety? Because God gives us joy, right? So how does this all fit with our identity as Christians? Well, sometimes life is sad, right? And sometimes it's stressful. And sometimes it's traumatic. You know, we're not spared of those things, are we? And depression and anxiety, they're normal and kind of involuntary responses to that, right? And sometimes, you know, when things mount up, it seems like God might be far away from us. And that also contributes, doesn't it, to us as Christians getting depression and anxiety. And we don't always know how to avoid it. We don't know how to avoid it becoming, you know, sort of debilitating anyway. And or we might want to avoid it. You know, some of those feelings aren't very nice and we try to push them down and we don't want to face them necessarily. We can feel guilty, and that's one reason we might avoid it, is because, you know, we're told we shouldn't get depressed, we shouldn't have those anxious emotions or depressed emotions. And of course, you know, the 5 bad bosses that you guys have been hearing about for the last 5 weeks, regret and shame and fear, loneliness, anger, all those things contribute to poor mental health. So these are some strategies in dealing with depression. So lifting your mood takes a little bit of, first of all, recognition that there's an issue, right? And secondly, a bit of effort, actually, to kind of get ourselves out of that mood. I might actually skip and go back in the slides. So as Ian read to us before, Nehemiah 8:10. So, you know, you get the context for that scripture is that, you know, the king of Persia had asked his cupbearer, Nehemiah, to go and rebuild the wall of Israel. And he took a whole lot of exiles with him, and they went and rebuilt the wall. And when they got there, of course, there was a lot of opposition. There was, you know, it was very difficult to get all that wall built, and it was hard work as well. And then, you know, they finally put tools down, and okay, that's all done, and now we're going to recommit ourselves to God. And they set about doing that, and they asked Ezra, the prophet, to read to them from the Torah. And as he read to them the Torah, the Bible, it became very real to them. It became very clear to them how they had, I guess, sidestepped God's ways a bit and had, you know, fallen away from God. And they became very sad. And they were weeping, you know, they were really upset by that. And Nehemiah said to them, go and enjoy some choice food and some sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. Sound like voluntary work and, you know, helping out other people to you. And, you know, this day is holy to the Lord. So don't grieve. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay? So when he says do not, it's not a, do this or else type of command. It's more a you can do this command, right? So what he's saying is go and make positive steps to change your mood, okay? Do things that are going to make you feel good. So some of those things might be for you, plan a fun activity each day, okay? Do something that's going to give you a good belly laugh as often as you can. Talk to someone if there's a real concern that you have, that, you know, a real reason that you're sad. Get some exercise, very important, because the endorphins that are produced by that can really, really help your mood. Spend time in God's creation and worship him for his creativity. Psalm 19, 1-6 says, where are we? Oh, my monitor's gone. There we are. Says, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. So as we get out into creation, as we sort of look at the world around us, we see a natural revelation of God. And that actually really feeds our soul and gives us joy. Okay? So it's really important to do that as well. Get a good night's sleep, guys. Everybody, get a good night's sleep. It's a very, very big contributor to mental health. And also healthy eating is of great importance to mental health. Guard against negative thoughts. So if you notice that you've got negative thoughts going through your head, don't fight them necessarily, but replace them with positive truth. Okay? And you just sort of notice them, you know, pinpoint them, and then, yeah, replace them. Obviously, if symptoms persist, see a professional, right? Notice your grief and anxiety. Don't fight it. Don't get angry with yourself either for feeling those feelings. Be kind to yourself. God wants us to overcome for our own good. Okay, so we're just going to move on to anxiety disorders now. So if you can imagine that you're going for a lovely walk in the forest, okay, and you suddenly come across a bear. All right, there's a bear, a big grizzly bear right in front of you. What are you going to do? You're probably going to either freeze, fight it, be a bit crazy, or run away, right? But your body, through all of that, is going to have a reaction to that situation. And sometimes, you know, if we're threatened by a bear, that's quite appropriate, isn't it? To have a bodily reaction to that in the way of anxious symptoms. So the sort of symptoms that I'm talking about are, you know, sweating, your muscles all tensing up because you're ready to run or fight, okay? You know, your tummy might be upset. Your respiration will be sort of faster, and your heartbeat will be faster, won't it? You might have to run to the loo, sorry for the indiscretion, but, you know, to lighten the load, so to speak, because if you've got to run, you've got to be as light as you can, right? So you're getting ready to fight or to flight. So that's okay if you're faced by a bear. If you're not faced by a bear, though, if there's no threat there, then it becomes not okay. It becomes a disorder when the feelings just won't go away. Sometimes we have them for a temporary time, and remember that continuum, right? There's, you know, that middle ground where, you know, you might experience some mental health symptoms, but you don't necessarily have a full-blown mental illness. But sometimes it sort of gets a bit stuck on that fight or flight response. And we might end up with an illness such as generalised anxiety disorder or social anxiety disorder, panic attacks, phobias, the list goes on. I'm holding it upside down. Sorry, guys. That's going to do it. Oh dear. Okay, so symptoms of anxiety can be physical, psychological, or behavioural. Okay, we have talked a little bit about them, obviously, with the fight or flight response. A little bit more detail there. So panic attacks, hot and cold flushes, racing heart, restlessness, sleep disturbance, they're some of the physical symptoms. Some of the psychological symptoms are excessive worry, catastrophizing, obsessive thinking, you know, the mouse wheel in your head, you know, you can't sort of slow the mouse down or the thoughts down. And also memory and concentration difficulties, sure sign of something going on there. Behavioural is, you know, a lot about avoidance. So situations that will exacerbate your symptoms, if you're avoiding those situations, then, you know, that can be a symptom of anxiety as well. And particularly if it's to the point of being, you know, impacting on your study or your work. So the strategies for dealing with anxiety, the same basics, so, you know, good sleep, good eating and exercise and all that sort of thing, but also good work-life balance, so making sure that you are only demanding of yourself what's reasonable, you know, that you're not sort of over busy. Also dealing with issues like psychological issues that you notice affect you, so either from the past or from the present, dealing with those things as they come up. If you're worrying too, worrying is about either you'll notice either the past or the future, okay? And it's not about this moment. There's nothing much to worry about in this moment, right? But the past and the future, that's where all the worry is. So if you notice that your brain is going to the past or to the future, bring yourself back to the now. Bring yourself back to today. Be kind to yourself. Notice your self-talk and just be as kind to yourself as you are to other people, okay? Because it's easy to be mean to yourself for some reason, much easier than to be mean to other people, perhaps because it's not as visible. Okay, but God loves us as much as he loves everybody else, and he wants us to love ourselves as much as we love everybody else too, right? Meditate on God's word, and also worship is very important, I think, for Christians in their recovery, because, you know, what does it say in the Psalms about taking off the putting on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness? So worship, you know, lifts our spirit as we realise, you know, how great God is and how much he loves us. But also meditating on God's word, that he has good plans for you, from Jeremiah 29:11, that he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power and a sound mind. And did you know that Christians develop mindfulness before the Buddhists? So we're allowed to use it, guys, okay? If you want a Christian mindfulness technique, just mention it in the question and answer session. I'll be happy to help you with that. Just a few words on trauma. So trauma is, again, where that that stress response or that fight or flight response has stuck on. You know, it's like you've had this experience where you felt like you were going to die or somebody else in your situation was going to die, and therefore you've got like this hyper awareness of danger, and it stays with you and it's kind of stuck on the switch. That can result in a lot of stress-related disorders, such as, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder in particular, but also other disorders. And often recovery from trauma will actually require some professional intervention. Now, you might think that Christians don't get suicidal thoughts. Not true. I will mention, though, that suicidal thoughts have levels of intent, you know, and again, this is not a sin. It's a sign of desperation, right? It's a sign of great difficulty and great sadness. So thoughts, ideation, so that's thinking a lot about suicide, and actually planning a suicide, they're very different, aren't they, in intent, in levels. But they are more common than you'd think. And it's very important that if you ever experience any of this, that you let someone know, let them in and you know, really talk about it. If you're a people helper and you want to know the best way to help somebody who's going through suicide, ask questions. Be, you know, really, really listen to what their answers are, and ask questions about their future. Ask questions about, so what have you got to live for? Like, who are your people? Who is going to miss you? You know, what are your plans for the future? You know, that sort of thing. What would you like to achieve in your life? That kind of thing. There's sort of, you know, hope questions of things that might just spark a bit of hope in them to keep going, please remain, you know, non-judgmental and caring, and you know, offer support and offer to link them in with a mental health professional as well. If you do have suicidal thoughts, then remember that it's part of depression, and it passes. You can get better. Just if you hear that, you know, somebody is self-harming, or you notice that someone is self-harming, just be aware that that doesn't necessarily mean that they're suicidal either, that it's a way of coping with pain, and may never escalate any further if the person receives support. These are not myths about suicidal risk. These answer the myths to suicidal risk, even though that's the heading of the slide. Many people who make an unsuccessful attempt on their life end up being grateful that it was unsuccessful. So the myth is that people will hate you if they have planned a suicide and you interrupt it. Basically, that's the myth. The next one is, talking about it does not make the person more likely to act on suicidal thoughts. It's quite the opposite. Okay, so talking about it actually can help. It can, you know, help them to find a little bit of hope. People who contact someone with thoughts of suicide are usually not attention seeking. So don't dismiss somebody who does, you know, come and talk to you about suicide. They may be wanting to be talked out of it, and you may be just the person to do it. And you don't have to be a health professional to help in these situations. So when do I need help? And if I do need help, where do I go? So we'll start off with when do I need help? So early detection and response is very important. Okay, so if you have any symptoms of mental health issues, don't ignore them. Don't, you know, push them aside. If you have any sort of, you notice that your behaviour is changing or somebody around you, their behaviour is changing, talk to them about it, you know, try and get some help. If you're overwhelmed or you have dark thoughts or you generally feel like you're not coping, get help. Okay, if you're turning to unhealthy coping mechanisms in a compulsive sort of a way, get help. Okay. If you find your symptoms are starting to affect your work, the people around you, your study, anything like that, if it's really sort of impacting, get help. Okay. And, you know, it's really important that we destigmatise mental health issues and we, you know, we normalise it. We don't want it to be normal, but it is. So, you know, if we stigmatise it and we make people feel bad, it just sends them, you know, into the, you know, the dark corners, and they can't get help if they're feeling stigmatised. So, you know, speak honestly about it together. And we need to be able to talk about it. So also access appropriate professional help. So GPs, psychologists, if you go to your GP, they can refer you to a psychologist. If you go to uni, they have wellbeing services there and you can access the wellbeing services. If you're working, they usually have a workplace assistance program and employee assistance program in place. It's normally free of charge. You can access it through HR. It doesn't have to be something that's known by your boss or anything like that. It's all, you know, pretty quiet and secretive. There's my details there. I'm a Christian psychologist. My colleague Nikki Chiswell is also a Christian psychologist. We do a lot of work together. If you want to take our details, feel free to do that. Any of these slides, actually, I've also got some emergency contacts there. So if anything is really serious and you need assistance right now, then, you know, emergency contacts there. And any of these slides, I'm quite happy for you to take photos of in the break if you want to do that. Or Jimmy will have copies as well. So you're most welcome to access any of that information. Okay. I think we're finished. Thanks very much for listening so attentively, and I really hope that is of some use to you, of some help. Yeah. And can I just pray for us? Yeah. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that as we come to you and we realise your beauty, we realise your love for us, that, Lord, you do take our spirit of heaviness and give us a garment of praise. We do thank you, Lord, that you lift our hearts, that your creation lifts our hearts. We do thank you, Father, that you are our burden bearer, and that we can focus on you and we can focus on this moment and being with you. And our worries disappear. The things of the world grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. We thank you for those things, that they are not just words in a book, Lord, but that they are truth. And that, Lord, we have such an amazing resource in you to assist us with mental health. I pray for anyone who's listening today, Lord, who may have mental health issues and who needs support. Father, please be their strength, be their joy, and Lord, help them to reach out, help them to find that person who they can talk to, and be their provision in that way, Lord Jesus, please. We pray for safety and for loving community in this place. And we thank you that this place is known for that, Lord, that you are here and that that you make this place a loving community. Thank you that Liz felt comfortable even to talk really publicly about her issues, and I pray for your blessing upon her for that, because it's not easy. And I pray for your peace for her and for other people who might suffer with symptoms of mental illness. We praise you, Lord, that you are our sufficiency and our all in all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Andre. Just a few words before we go to the next song, close up, and thank you very much for coming to share with us. The PowerPoint will be uploaded onto our website, so you can download it.